Well, welcome to A Good Word for Today. I'm Gil Hammond, and we'll be turning today in John chapter 15 for our good word for today from God's holy word. Before we do that, let's take a moment to go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your care and your keeping. Thank you for Jesus. Oh, especially, thank you for Jesus and for salvation we have in him. Thank you for the home that's prepared for us and waiting for us in heaven. Thank you for protecting us as our Heavenly Father. Thank you for providing for us as our Heavenly Father. Thank you for all of your blessings, Father, now and for those that are laid up for us in the future. Father, today we thank you for our listeners and for our partners. We thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your message over these radio stations under Tri-State Gospel Radio. Thank you for your care of these stations and your keeping of these stations and your protection and your provision for this ministry that you started and you continued of proclaiming the gospel message into portions of four states over these three radio stations. Father, today, as we open your word, we ask for your Holy Spirit to teach us. May the words I speak today and a good word for today be your words, Father, not my own, but may they be yours, spoken by your Holy Spirit in me and through me, for all of us to hear and for all of us to be built up, edified in Jesus Christ. For your glory and honor, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Well, dear friend, thank you again for joining us today on A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. And we are in John chapter 15 as we continue our study in the life of Jesus and dealing with the question, is Jesus really who he claims to be? We've been dealing with that question for quite a long time now as we've studied through the Gospel of John and looked at the life of Jesus as presented by the Apostle John, by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle John, and we've looked at the witnesses for Jesus being the Son of God, and we've looked at the witness of Jesus himself as he proclaims himself to be the Son of God. Of course, throughout John, Jesus has said many times, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. I came to do the will of my Father. I did not come to do my own thing. I came to speak the words of the Father. I came to do the will of the Father. So what I do is what the Father has given me to do. What I say is what the Father has given me to say. I came to lift up the Father. I and the Father are one." Over and over again, Jesus claimed to be one with the Father, claimed to be of the Father, and claimed to be going back to the Father once he had completed the purpose that he had come to the earth to do. Now, in John chapter 15, in our last session together, we talked about the first portion of this chapter where Jesus speaks of being the true vine. He speaks of his Father as being the gardener or the vine dresser, the one who fertilizes, the one who keeps the weeds out, the one who protects, who guards, and who sees that the vine is protected and the branches on the vine are pruned and prepared in such a way that they will bear fruit, much fruit, more fruit, and the fruit will remain until it is ripe. It will not fall off prematurely. And Jesus himself says, "It's my desire that you bear much fruit." In verse 8, for example, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Now, the bearing of fruit, Jesus says, is proof that you are my disciples. Now, we sometimes confuse the fruit with works. Remember, our work, according to Jesus himself in John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, our work is summed up in believing in Jesus. That's our work. That's our work. It stops there. Our work is belief and trust and living in trust and living in faith and trusting in Jesus and allowing Him to be Lord of our life and yielding our life to Him. That's a big job for us, frankly. Continuing day by day, moment by moment, circumstance by circumstance, to yield our own life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is our human nature to crawl upon the throne ourselves and to direct our own lives and to sing the song of the world, if you will. I did it my way. How stupid, frankly. The most stupid thing we can do as human beings is to do it our way. That is a sure ticket right into the gates of hell, frankly. We must do it God's way. We must live our life God's way. We must surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to come into our life and live His life in us and live His life through us. And that is our work, to believe in Him. Now, when we yield ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus and allow Him to live in us and through us, then it is Jesus who is doing the Father's work that He desires to do in us and through us. And it's not our work at all. Our hands may be doing it. Our voice may be speaking it. It may look like I'm doing this thing, I'm preaching this message, but if I'm in proper alignment with God and the purpose of God, it is God working in me and working through me as a yielded vessel, as an instrument. And it's the Holy Spirit doing the work in me. You see, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Jesus came to this earth clearly to reveal God the Father. Hebrews chapter 1 states that Jesus was the very image of God Himself. Jesus was the representation of God Himself upon this earth. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So Jesus' purpose was to reveal God the Father. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, as we see here in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, in the words of Jesus Himself, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus, to show Jesus, to bring to mind the truth of Jesus. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to work in the lives of human beings to bring them to Jesus, to introduce them to Jesus, to convict them of their need of Jesus. For Jesus is the only way to God the Father. Jesus is the only way to eternal life in heaven, you see. So the very important work of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus. And Jesus' purpose was to reveal the Father. So we have the Spirit, the Son and the Father in perfect alignment with one another, you see. Now, the Holy Spirit is defined as the power of God. So it is the power of God who reveals Christ and God the Father. It is by this power of God, by the Holy Spirit within us, that Jesus is revealed and God is revealed. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we live and move and have our being. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that the Father's works are done in us and done through us. As Paul said, I do not live, it is Christ who lives in me. I do not do my own work, Jesus said, it's the Father's work that I do. And we should be the same way as Jesus. I'm not doing my own work. I'm yielded to the will of the Father as expressed in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and as empowered by the Holy Spirit within me. So it is the Father's works that my hands should be doing. It is the Father's message that my voice should be speaking as I'm yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, that's what Jesus meant when he said, "You cannot bear any fruit unless you abide in me, as a branch abiding in the vine." Now, that gives us a clear picture, a clear understanding, for we know very well that if you cut the branch away from the vine, the branch cannot live on its own. The branch will just dry up and die because its source of life has been cut off. You see, our life is in Jesus Christ. We are to abide in the vine and therefore gain life in the vine. You see, we have to be in the vine to have life. We can't get life from the vine and just move off now and on our own. We've got to stay in the vine. So Jesus gives us this picture of himself being the true vine, we're the branches, in order for us to get a clear understanding that we must abide in him. Now, he gives here in this chapter then several commandments. In verse 9, for example, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love." Now, he says, abide in me. I'm the true vine. Abide in my love. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." In other words, do what I've done. I've yielded to the Father. I do what the Father says. I say what the Father says. I do not do my own thing. And that should be true of us, dear friend. We should be able to say, I do not do my own thing. I'm yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ lives in me and lives through me and is doing the Father's will in me and through me by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within me. So Jesus says, abide in my love. Keep my commandments. Abide in my love. Now, what are the commandments of Jesus? Well, he says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And then down in verse 13, he says, "This I command you, that you love one another." Now, we are to love one another and to do as the Father commands us to do. We are to abide in Christ. We are to abide in his love. Now, if we look at the life of Jesus and turn back to Matthew chapter 22, for example, we'll find the commandments of Jesus summed up in totality. Let's just take a moment to look at Matthew chapter 22, and let's begin with verse 34 because this sets the stage. Chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 34, "But when the Pharisees heard that he," that is Jesus, "had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him," that is Jesus, "a question, testing him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?'" In verse 37, here is Jesus' all-important answer. "And Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets.'" Now, those three verses are really very important, and they sum up the commandments of Jesus. And what are they? To love the Lord our God with all that we are, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Now, Jesus said here in John chapter 15, verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And again he says in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." And then again in verse 17, "This I command you, that you love one another." So Jesus' commandments are only two. But he says here in Matthew chapter 22 that on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets, or hinge the whole law and the prophets. So Jesus is pointing out that if you love me, you will be my disciples. And he also says, "Bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Verse 8. Now, I spoke earlier of our confusing fruit and work. And I said that work is very simple for us. Our work, our own work, is to believe in Jesus. And just keep on believing in Jesus. Keep on trusting in Jesus. Keep on yielding to Jesus. And keep on allowing Him to be Lord of our lives. That is our work. Now, the work of Jesus in us is the Father's work then. The Bible speaks of our being created unto good works. That's our purpose. We were created for good works. But it also says, "For it is God who is at work in you to work and to will for his good purpose." We are instruments. Our body is the very temple of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are instruments in the hand of God to do the will of God. So it is our purpose to yield to Jesus Christ, to the Lordship of Jesus, and then to allow Him to do the Father's work in us and through us as Lord of our lives. Now, yielding to the Lordship of Jesus sounds simple enough, but it's a constant problem for us. In every situation we face, we have a question to answer. Am I going to allow Jesus to be Lord of this particular situation? Or am I going to say, in essence, "Jesus, get off the throne. I'm going to climb on it. I'm going to do it my way this time." You see, we face that every decision we make. We face that choice many times a day, multiple times a day. Always facing that choice, and our self, our prideful human nature, is always saying, "Do it your way, do it your way, do it your way." And it is by our will that we must say, "No, I submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you live in me, and do the Father's work in me. Use my hands to do the Father's work. Use my voice to speak the Father's word. Use my person, use my being to do the Father's will." That's yielding to Jesus. And that's difficult for us. It sounds simple enough, but it's a difficult thing to do. We must swallow our pride totally. We must crucify pride on the cross daily. You see, Paul said, "I have to die daily. I crucify myself daily." What did he mean by that? He said, "I have to get on myself and beat myself down so that Jesus can live in me and through me." Now, Jesus will lift us up. That's the real way for us to be lifted up, you see. If we will humble ourselves and yield to Him, Jesus will lift us up. The Father will make us daily more and more like Jesus, with the goal of ultimately making us conform to the very image of Jesus Christ. That's the Father's purpose in us. That's the Father's what He's doing in us. So Jesus is saying, "Abide in me. You can do nothing unless you abide in me. Abide in me and you'll bear much fruit." Now, this fruit, he's speaking of is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as illustrated in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And listen, it's not works. Now, the fruit gives rise to good works, but the fruit is not good works itself. It's fruit. Now, the fruit of the Holy Spirit that he bears within us when our life is yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when we are abiding in the vine, the fruit is love and joy and peace and goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, patience, and self-control. Now, none of those are works in themselves. We might call them characteristics that are demonstrated in the life that is showing the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, the fruit of faithfulness, the fruit of kindness, the fruit of patience, the fruit of self-control, the fruit of goodness and gentleness and kindness, the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus is speaking of that here in chapter 15 of John. And he says, it's my desire that you bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit and that your fruit remain. And what's he talking about? The fruit of the Holy Spirit that is born in us and on us as a branch when we are in the vine. When we're abiding in the vine, when we are attached to the vine, when we are yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is presenting us a wonderful picture here of abiding in him, and we'll bear much fruit, and so prove to be his disciples. But notice this fruit is not work, you see. Remember, our work is to believe and to trust and to yield to the Lordship of Jesus, and to just keep on doing that. And when our life is in that condition, we will be like that branch attached to the vine that is bearing much fruit. You see, the fruit is not our own. The fruit is not a result of our effort. The fruit is not a result of our work. The fruit is a result of our abiding in the vine and permitting the Holy Spirit to bring forth the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and patience and self-control, the nine fruits, the nine characteristics, the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Now, a life that is bearing those kinds of fruit will be abiding in the vine. Jesus said, bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, you shall know them by their fruit. He said, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad fruit bear good fruit, or bad tree, rather, bear good fruit. You see, you shall know them, he said, you shall know the tree by its fruit. Or in line with John chapter 15, we could say, you shall know the branch by the fruit that it bears. If we're abiding in the true vine, which is Jesus Christ, then we'll be bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit within our lives. So yes, you will know them by their fruit. Jesus said, bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. He also said, do my commandments and prove to be my disciples. What are his commandments? Love God and love one another. Love God and love one another. You see, there's no work of ours involved in that as such. It is a state. It is a state of being. It is a condition, abiding in the vine. It is trusting Jesus, yielding to Jesus, allowing him to be Lord in our lives and Lord of our lives. And that is the condition that we must find ourselves in order to bear much fruit. Real fruit. Now there is a Satan counterfeit fruit. There is a false love, a false peace, a false joy. There is the temporary pleasure that we receive from doing certain things. But we know that that pleasure from doing things of the world and sinful things is but for a moment, and at the last it bites and stings like an adder, the Bible tells us. We know that the end result of these things is not good. But the end result of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and joy and peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, patience, and self-control. So let's yield to Jesus. Let's do our work. Believe in Jesus. Abide in the vine. Stay in the vine, yielded to the true vine, Jesus Christ, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Then we are in a position to bear much fruit. Remember, the fruit is not our own work. It's not a result of our own efforts, except in the sense of our yielding to Jesus and abiding in the vine. You see, the fruit is produced by the vine. The fruit is the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is flowing through the vine into the branch and producing the fruit on the branch. The fruit is produced on us as a branch, but not by us. The fruit is produced on us when we are yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and abiding in the true vine, which is Jesus Christ Himself. Now, in our next session together, I want to deal with what Jesus said. If you abide in me, you shall ask whatever you wish, and it shall be granted to you. A lot of people misinterpret that scripture. A lot of people claim that kind of scripture and say, look, it says, ask whatever you will, and it shall be granted to you. Well, notice the conditions. You've got to be abiding in the vine, yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we're in that situation, then what we will be asking will be in line with the will of God. What our desire will be the very desire of Jesus Christ as expressed in us and through us. And what was His desire? To do the will of the Father. That was His clear statement over and over and over again. In Psalm 37, we have a scripture that says, God will give you the desires of your heart. But that is speaking of God giving you the proper desire, the proper wants in your heart. The proper want is to yield to the Lordship of Jesus. The proper desire in our heart is to do the Father's will. The proper request is in line with the will of God for our lives. James says that you ask of the Father and do not receive because you ask amiss. And what he went ahead to say was that you ask for the purpose of expending it upon yourselves for selfish reasons, for selfish desires. And he said when you ask that way, you're not in the Father's will. And when you ask that way, you won't receive because you're not pleasing the Father. You're asking in a selfish way. You're asking for selfish reasons. You're not in line with the Father's will. So yes, if we are abiding in the vine, if we have a proper relationship with Jesus Christ, where we're yielded to Him and allowing Him to be Lord in our lives, then God will give us the very desires of our heart. And those desires within us will be to please Him. Those desires within us will be to abide in the vine. Those desires within us will be to yield to the Lordship of Jesus Christ so that the will of God can be done in us and through us. And that, my friend, is a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.